Blog Talk Radio.
National, but it's been plastered all over our news here in San Diego. Junior Seau, formerly of the San Diego Chargers, died at the age of 43 today in his home in Oceanside, where he had lived. I'm going to bring up this caller. 414. Hello, you're on the air.
It's Linda.
Hello?
Linda?
Oh,
can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
How you doing?
I'll just let you listen. Let me explain. Junior Seau was a very prominent person in our city. Our city will be mourning this situation. I believe it was probably about 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time that this happened. He was dead of a gunshot wound to the chest. They're investigating it as a suicide. It was a horrible situation. My sister and my mom and I were watching TV when this happened. On the air, you know, on the television, and my sister was like in tears, and then Karen took mom to lunch, and I came in to prepare for things, and as the news kept breaking, the Junior Seau's mother came and spoke in front of the cameras, and when she spoke, I lost it. I was weeping like a child. So we don't know exactly, yes, Bill, yeah, he was awesome. So it's just a sad day. So I had planned on sort of in the middle of the show covering a little bit of scripture. I did post something on Facebook giving my condolences to the family, also to Patriot Families Chat briefly in the chat room. And I just wanted to, again, you know, everyone say prayers. I don't understand. We don't know if this was suicide or not, and I don't know if he knew the Lord, but I prayed that God would have mercy on his soul, regardless of the situation. And not be harsh with him. I know that's not part of our covenant. We're not supposed to take our own lives, dear Lord. Welcome, everyone, Bill, Ron, Michael, and Jomer. Anyway, this is from our Bible, the Psalm of David 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was another piece that I saw today. It's hard, you know, time when people do things like that or things bad happen to families, it's tough. So I know Oceanside and San Diego is going to be grieving for a while. But this was from Matthew 9:20. And behold, a woman which was deceased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole in that hour. The other passage that was interesting to me as I'm going through Scripture, if I can get light on the subject, this was St. John 5, verse 18 through, I believe, 24. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath commanded or committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I hope I can get an amen on that one. So welcome all guests. I hope you can come in. One of them may be Rod. I'm not toggling back to the other chat room. So little prayers for the people that have a great loss today. A few things in the news. We had the idiot-in-chief going to Afghanistan, spending $3 million on a campaign speech, which gives you a little bit of idea of his black liberation theology and reparations. Of course, the media, the so-called journalists, they're not really journalists, they're propagandists, you know, they're falling all over themselves saying, oh, what a great, you know, it makes me tired. It's just nothing more than, you know, lies, more rhetoric, and a campaign speech. I'm so tired of it. So then we had other things going on, which we had talked about before on our shows, which was H.R. 347, and this came across my desk today, so it says, the new law makes it illegal to protest in Obama's presence. And I'm sure it'll be in other people's presence as well. This means that wherever Obama is at, you do not have a right to ask him anything you want to. His Secret Service can have you arrested, fined, and imprisoned for more than a year if you ask him something he doesn't like? Sound like he's more like a Hitler than Lincoln to you? Yeah. I just call him Barry V. Watch and be amazed at his latest attempt to stage a takeover of America. Guess you've probably heard about this, but sending it anyway in emails, it's probably the scariest thing this guy has done yet. Are you aware of this new law signed by Obama in early March 2012? This is not legal. We have the First Amendment in the U.S., but Pelosi is rushing to take that away from the citizens. As it states, okay. Hello, Rod. Thanks for joining us. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And then we go on to the next item on the list was Obama is a control freak. I like this one. You're going to like this one. Understand that control freaks are people who are terrified of failure. They cannot trust that anyone else will do a better job than they can. It is a personality disorder stemming from childhood. Not surprising there. Most control freaks are unhappy and insecure people. Behave consistently calm when you're around them. Getting angry just doesn't work. They will not get better until they seek long-term therapy. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Sometimes it may seem there is just no pleasing the control freak. They will criticize everything. The worst thing you can do is fight with them because it just wastes your time. They will not and cannot change without help. This is their deep-seated problem, not yours. Let's see. Monitor their anxiety levels. A control freak has no coping skills when they are stressed, and that is when they run over people. Oh, this guy must be stressed all day long every day. They believe that no one can do as good of a job at something that, as they will. They will get bogged down because they have taken too much on for themselves and then strike out. Try to be alert to the mood change and be on your toes. Then it goes this political, the regulation of political speech. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi endorsed the movement announced by other congressional Democrats, I think this is CISPA, to ratify an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would allow Congress to regulate political speech when it is engaged in by corporations as opposed to individuals. Oh God, the constitutional amendment the Democrats seek would reverse the Supreme Court's 2010 decision in Citizens v. Federal Election Commission. In that decision, the court said that the First Amendment protects a right of free speech for corporations as well as for individuals, and that corporations, including those that produce newspapers, films, and books, have a right to speak about politicians and their records just as individuals do. So, somebody put her name, Nancy Pelosi, wants to amend the First Amendment of the Constitution, censor political speech by media. Oh, boy. When the court they're going after Beck and Savage and the rest of us. When the court ruled against the Obama administration's position in this case, Chief Justice Roberts wrote a concurring opinion underscoring the fact that the administration had wanted the court to allow the government to prohibit political speech. So the quote is, "The government urges us in this issue to uphold a direct prohibition on political speech," wrote Roberts. "It asks us to embrace a theory of the First Amendment that would allow censorship, not only of television and radio broadcasts, but of pamphlets, posters, the internet, and virtually any other medium that corporations and unions might find useful in expressing their views on matters of public concern." The bill in question is called the The People's Rights Amendment, and its goal is to explicitly allow Congress to regulate corporate speech however it wants. Yeah, well, when hell freezes over. Section 1, this is how they describe it. "We, the people who ordain and establish this Constitution, intend the rights protected by this Constitution to be the rights of natural persons." Section 2, "People, person, or persons, as used in this Constitution, does not include corporations, limited liability companies, or other corporate entities established by the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state, and such corporate entities are subject to such regulation as the people, through their elected state and federal representatives, deem reasonable and are otherwise consistent with the powers of Congress and the states under this Constitution. Section 3, nothing contained herein shall be construed to limit the people's rights of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, free exercise of religion, and such other rights of the people, which rights are unalienable. Here are some of the bill's sponsors trying their best to explain the rationale behind the bill. I've introduced a People's Rights Amendment, which is very simple and straightforward. That's Rep. Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, and said it, he said at the forum, it would make clear that all corporate entities, for-profit and non-profit alike, are not people with constitutional rights. Oh, that's nice. Who made him king? Then he goes on, it treats all corporations, including incorporated unions and nonprofits, in the same way as artificial creatures of the state that we, the people, govern, not the other way around, said McGovern. Oh, these guys have really got their heads. Representative Donna Edwards, Democrat in Maryland, explained the basic principle this move to amend the Constitution is advancing. Here she goes. In Citizens United, what the court said is that Congress has no authority to regulate this kind of political speech, said Representative Edwards. And so all of these constitutional amendments go to this question of giving Congress the authority that the Supreme Court, I think wrongly, decided isn't within Congress's constitutional or constitutional purview. Apparently this bill is phase one of an attempt to resurrect the Disclose Act. Hate it. He's laughing. What happened to my batteries? Oh, no. All right. Welcome, Robert, and thank you for calling in. How are you today, sir?
Oh, man, I'm sorry about what happened. I didn't hear all of it, but I got to...
Well, the gentleman in question, he has been a kind of an icon here in San Diego for quite some time. He was 43. Not too long ago, I think it was probably 6 or 8 months ago, there was an incident that got kind of hushed down and covered up in Carlsbad, which is just a neighboring city. I think he tried to kill himself then because he took an SUV and, you know, took a swan dive with it over a cliff onto the beach. And he survived, so I don't know what's going on with that, but it's a very sad day. So he was with the Chargers for many years, quite a great player. So I don't know if it's going to hit the national news, but, you know, all of Southern California is going to be, like, hearing about it for weeks, I'm sure. But, yeah, it was just really
bad.
Okay, so I don't know why. I wonder if it's my microphone.
I haven't done anything different.
Pardon me?
I'm on my cell phone. I don't know if that would have an impact.
I don't know. So if they can keep telling me how it sounds, that would be great. Let's see. There's another. Oh, boy. What do they got here? This was. It says, remember Big Brother? Well, here Big Brother comes again. It's called Food Freedom News. Monsanto's Food and Drug Administration can't close down small dairies and private food clubs fast enough. Bursting on the scene with guns drawn as if the criminalized right to contract for natural foods we've consumed for millennia deserves SWAT attention. Now Obama has the Department of Justice going after small farmers under the Post-9/11 Bank Secrecy Act, which makes it a crime to deposit less than $10,000 in your account when you earned more than that. The level we deposited was what it was, and it was about the same every week. That was by Randy Sowers. He was speaking to Frederick News. The Sowers own and run South Mountain Creamery in Middletown, Maryland. Admittedly, when the Sowers earned over $10,000 in February and learned that to fill out, oh, yeah, I know about this, the IRS paperwork. paperwork at the bank for such large deposits. They simply rolled the deposits over to keep them below the none of your blanking business amount, rather than waste time on bureaucratic red tape aimed at flagging terrorism or other illegal activities. Structuring, explains overlawyer.com, is the federal criminal offense of splitting up bank deposits so as to keep them under the threshold, such $10,000 and above, which banks have to report transactions to the government, meaning the IRS, I guess. Crazy. While being questioned, the sellers were finally presented with a seizure order and advised that the feds had already emptied their bank account of $70,000. The Department of Justice has since sued to keep $63,000 of the sellers' money, though they committed no crime other than maintaining their privacy. When a similar action was taken against Taylor's products, Taylor's produce stand last year, the Fed seized $90,000, dropped the charges, and kept $45,000 of the Taylor's money. Knowing that most farms operate on a very thin margin, such abuse of power wipes out a family's income. And for a bonus, the feds enhance the monopoly power of Monsanto, Big Dairy, and their supply chain. You can just smell Attorney Michael Taylor behind all this, Obama's dairy dog. Oh. Who you'll find instead is U.S. District Attorney Stephen Casella. He's the first who had the DOJ's asset forfeiture and money laundering section created in 2009, having wrote the books on it. He cut his teeth on seizing $1.2 billion from real money launderer BCCI. Guess his focus has changed since then. The Maryland Department of Agriculture had no trouble hitting up the seller for a recipe in its Buy Local cookbook, but Casella must have missed that public service, or it's what drew his attention. A small dairy. Let's rob them of their cash, those big evil dairy competitors. They probably sell raw milk under the table. Even if we find no evidence of wrongdoing, we'll keep their money anyway. Okay. Let's bring up on. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hey, young lady. How are you?
Oh, fine, sir. How are you?
I am wonderful. You know, this story you're talking about, this is why I had Kent Hovind's son, Eric Hovind, on my radio show previously.
Right.
Eric Hovind is a pastor in Florida, and his name was Dr. Dino. He used to be a science teacher, and he started a church down in Florida, created a huge theme park for kids, all about dinosaurs and stuff like that. And the IRS used the exact same law. Against him over 10 years. Now, this goes back into the Bush administration, so
yep.
We can't blame His Highness for this one.
Yeah.
But over a 10-year period, Kent Hovind had paid to his employees at the church, I think the number was like 4 or 5 checks that he had written that were just under $10,000. And so they accused him of this exact same structuring, they call it.
Yep.
They came in, looked over his books, even though all the employees had filed their taxes and paid just what exactly like the government wants them to do. They took his entire payroll for the 10 years, $486,000, and they said that's what he owed in back taxes, even though he didn't owe anything, and he hadn't violated any law, and they got a jury to convict him, and he's still in prison.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. How long has he been?
It's been a few years now.
Wow.
That's terrible. You know, because see, I know that this is nothing new, because I'd heard about all this stuff where if you take out more than 10, or if you put in more than 10 or whatever that figure is, it's a red flag to the stupid IRS. We're such in Gestapo times, and I know this didn't start with Obama, but, you know.
But he's not doing anything to change it by any stretch.
Oh, no.
If
he likes
business,
it, Mark.
Yep. Huh? If you're a business owner, or my wife is a general manager of a Harley-Davidson dealership.
Right.
If she has a customer that comes in and buys something, and she suspects that the guy might have gotten his money through illegal means, she's supposed to refuse the sale and report his information to the government.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Even if it's a dollar.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, they did it in Russia, too. I mean, Lenin and Stalin did it. You know, you got to report on your neighbors. Oh, and let's not forget Khrushchev. He was right in there with them. It's insane. Why we allow this and why we're not in the streets like the occupiers is beyond me. Oh, I don't know what
to do. I was watching last night. They had a two-part series on the History Channel the other night, and I recorded it. The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Right.
And it's astonishing because it was a lot of it was home movie footage from people in Germany.
Sure.
And their own writings and you know, their own thoughts on what was going on. And it's frightening because it's not that they didn't know.
I know.
They do. They knew. They absolutely knew. But they thought if they played along, they would be okay.
That's it. It's fear. It's absolute fear.
Yep.
That's how they get them. And we have to know who, I'm telling you, I was watching today, thinking about people like us not going off the cliff with the rest of society, because I was watching Glenn's show and he had Wilder on, who's a prisoner in his own home and has so many fatwas on his head, it's crazy. Because he sees what's going on in Europe. He knows that it's going to be a complete mess because of their political correctness and their immigration status with all of these Muslims. And, I mean, Gert has no love lost for the Muslim community, let me tell you, because he sees what it is. He knows that it's a cult. It's not primarily a religion, because he's studied this up one side and down the other. And we've got to not go over the cliff. There was the other story that caught Glenn's attention was these people, I guess it was on Dr. Phil's show. Did you hear about this?
No.
Okay. They were actually talking about euthanasia for children who were, quote, suffering because they were whatever, fill in the blank. Unbelievable stuff. I mean, this is a real slippery slope.
I have no doubt. I mean, you know, you watch what went on in Germany pre World War II, these people that think they're safe are not.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, they're going to be the first damned ones that they go after.
I know. And you know what? Because in fact, they talked about that on Glenn's radio show today, and yeah, it's true, because I was reading it probably a month ago when I was in the middle of the book. When they started their euthanasia in Germany during that period, when Hitler was already chancellor, I don't know if he became Führer yet, but that was one of the first things they did. They went after the infirm. They went after the mentally retarded. They went after these people. And they would just back those vans, the gas vans, up to the hospital and just load them in. I mean, unbelievable. And nobody stopped them.
And you know, one of the few things that no one talks about, the sterilization program that the Nazis carried out.
Mm.
But the fact that they got the idea from some folks here in the United States, one of whom was Prescott Bush and his father-in-law, George Walker.
Yeah, it's not surprising because, as we know, Goebbels got all his ideas from Bernays, so, you know, they trade their secrets across the pond. It's disgusting. You know, it's all the same ideology, the same Fabian socialist mentality that does this. You know, they really – and the first piece I read about the control freaks, that's part of what they are, but I do believe that they're sociopaths, if not psychotic. You know,
they're definitely all narcissistic. There's no question about it.
Well, yeah. That's why I had to go to the Bible today, because I thought, you know, we better start reading the scripture and figure out, you know, keep remembering who the heck's in charge, because you know, he'll judge them. I tell him every night, you take them off my shoulders. I can't take these people anymore. I just can't. He'll do a great job, believe me. But I like to get into the words of Jesus, because even in parable, it's just so amazing the things that were said when he was walking the earth. And so, it gives me great comfort in, you know, with our loss of Junior Seau today and just my whole life and what's going on in our country. And Gert Wilde was saying, the reason Europe is such a mess is they have lost who they are. They don't have their national identities anymore. And with the influx of the Muslims and, you know, this political correctness, it's destroying them. And I knew it would.
Well,
you know?
And see that, and you're exactly right. And this, to me, I mean, what's going on is the polar opposite
mm-hmm.
of what God intends.
Yep.
Okay. And
yep.
also why we founded the United States of America. It's
yes.
about the individual, not the collective. And we're going further and further away from individual rights.
I know.
And further and further into the despotic cauldron of collectivism.
It's horrible. Well, that's, you know, one of the things that Glenn and Gert were talking about today was, you know, small government doesn't go around annihilating people of their own citizens. It's always a big government, and this is what Europe has become. It's just one massive mess. And but Gert doesn't think that the elites over there will allow the Muslims to take over. God knows, but you know, that remains to be seen. I don't know. I'm so tired of dealing with morons and traitors in our own country. And they're following these guys headlong into this mess. You know, they're trying to copy Europe. I don't want to be Europe. I want to go back to, you know?
I mean, how long have we been hearing that? I mean, I heard that my whole life growing up, you know. We're trying to be like Europe. And, you know, you heard a lot of that coming from the GIs coming back from World War II. They saw a lot of things over in Europe that were cool that they wanted here in the U.S. But that's just junk, you know. Yeah, it's like it's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there kind of thing,
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, well, all the architecture is beautiful, and I'm sure that the Eiffel Tower is beautiful in the City of Lights at Night, but, man, I wouldn't go there now if you paid me $1 million. No, you can't even – how can you enjoy the beautiful streets of Paris when the Muslims are praying six times a day or whatever it is? You know, it's insane.
I've never had any respect for the French.
I'll tell you something. Some of those guys, though, those chefs, they can cook. Oh, boy, can they cook.
Oh, there's no question about that, you know, and that's great. But at the same time, their ideologies, they're just, they have no moral standards over there.
That's true. Oh, they never have. They have great perfume. They got the best champagne villages on the planet. That I got to give them.
I don't think I can hang out with a bunch of women that don't shave their underarms. I'm sorry. That's just not for me.
you don't have to fly to Paris to get Cristal champagne. You can get it at BevMo. It's just more expensive here. But it's insane. I mean, that's why that's why they fought. The things I was reading, there was another piece. Let me see if I can find it. I'm hoping. Can you guys still hear me? Because I'm going to another. Okay. They're talking about the general welfare clause justification for Obamacare. As you know, they've bastardized that stupid welfare clause since Christ was a corporal, I swear. This was James Madison was talking on the cod fishery bill granting bounties in 1792, and he said, I, sir, have always conceived, I believe those who proposed the Constitution conceived, it is still more fully known and more material to observe that those who ratified the Constitution conceived that this is not an indefinite government deriving its powers from the general terms prefixed to the specified powers, but a limited government tied down to the specific powers which explain and define the general terms. That was just one of the the items on this.
You know, one of the things I would like to ask the Supreme Court justices and all these idiots sitting up in Washington, D.C., is in light of our Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights, where in the Constitution did the people grant the authority to Congress to regulate speech?
None. Zero. That's why I was appalled when I read all this nonsense by Nancy Pelosi. You know, she's just overstepping, and somebody needs to put her in her little place. I don't know.
I elect you, Linda.
Oh, they wouldn't like me. They'd assassinate me real fast. They wouldn't like what I said.
I want you, Linda.
Thank you, Robert. You're a blessing. You know, they have done so many horrible things with the amendments, though, Ron. I mean, you know, and they keep going after us with CISPA and SOPA and FIPA and POOPA. You know, it drives me crazy. What do we do?
Do you know how you say cut the grass and fridge?
No.
Come again?
Oh, no. Do you know how you say cut the grass and fridge?
No.
Mow the lawn.
Okay.
That's my father's old joke, man. Oh my God!
That's funny.
But the Frenchmen are terrible. They're just terrible. I mean, they're awful. What can I tell you? I agree with you, Linda. I mean, I know where you're headed towards this, but you know. It's,
well, they are their own worst enemy, quite honestly, in Europe. Because they're allowing this whole Muslim surge in their population, and now they're having to rethink it. Germany's no dummies. They're sitting back going, hey, this just isn't working. These people are going to have to go. This non-assimilating into our society, it's just not working. The rest of Europe is like, oh, no, we've got to be politically correct. France is even kind of rethinking it after the riots they had over there.
Yeah, it's insane. You know, what's happening, though, is I think that there are people who, in our country, the American people, again, who don't read a damn thing, and people who are totally ignorant of our founding, what happened. I mean, let's go back even to the Mayflower, go back to all of the Mayflower Compact, all of these things that were in place, the Constitution, the Declaration, and in our document, our founding documents, all powers not delegated to the federal government in this Constitution are granted to the states and ultimately always, always devolved to the people. And if that's pretty damn straightforward, why can't people get this? I don't understand.
That's just it. I mean, it's the power of the individual. Each individual is sovereign. And they don't like hearing that term, sovereign, because they believe that's reserved for the government or for kings. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, there is no man by blood or any other station on the face of this planet that has any higher status than me or Robert or yourself or Bill or Rod or Oz.
Except
or anyone.
Lord.
We're all equal. Yeah. Plain and simple. We all have the same rights. So we can't just simply put together a collection of people and call it a government and say they have rights that are superior to ours. It doesn't work that way.
Well, this is what they've done. This is the oligarchy that they have formed. I don't know what else to call it, Ron. It looks like that to me, because that's the natural step down from a monarchy, and they're pushing towards that real fast. You know, of course, Obama is, and I just don't understand it. And they just are so gutless, and nobody stands up. It looks just like back in Germany when they're back the gas fans up and everybody's in fear of their lives. Is every 535 of those coneheads, are they that wussy and that controlled and that scared? I don't get it. They have no courage. Zero.
You're right. No backbone, no spine.
And
neither does anybody else. And, you know, I think part of this, and I hate to say it, but I know it's true because I've watched it. Part of the problem is that we only allow, or we've fallen for the idea that only lawyers can defend someone in court.
Yeah.
And the lawyers, you know, I mean, people need to wake up. You realize that when you hire an attorney, you're making a statement, a declaration,
yep,
to the court that you're not competent to handle your own affairs. That's number one.
Exactly.
Number two, an attorney has an oath, and his allegiance is to the court, not to his client.
Right, because he's an officer of the court.
That is correct. So his,
yep,
first obligation is to the court, not to his client.
Okay.
Now, back in the day, you didn't have to be a licensed attorney.
Right.
There is no such thing as a licensed attorney. You can be a member of the bar, which is a private organization.
Sure.
That doesn't give you a license. That's not a license from the state.
Right. Wow. Yeah, I just know that we have those documents to stand on, Ron, and we have the Bible, and you know, we have our courage. That's what's going to save us, or, you know, at least we'll be taken home to the Lord fighting for our inalienable rights.
That's where the battle actually comes down, because you're right. We have those documents, and when you traverse the bar into the court, and you say, no, I'm standing on my rights, and the document says X, Y, and Z, they say it doesn't. We say it says this. That's not what that means. It means something totally different. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, you're outnumbered. We overrule you. By what authority?
I know. It's craziness. Well, if you're going up against somebody, let's say, like Wickard versus Filburn, or, you know, those types of cases, that's just the justices. There's no... It's not like a jury trial. It's all
correct.
Court, right?
Correct.
Well, so let's say the lower courts, if you're going up against somebody in a case like that, it's not the Supreme, but it's you do have juries, don't you? Or is that just criminal, not civil?
Oh, well, you see, if it's a federal question case, more times than not, you're not going to have a jury. And if it's a constitutional issue, it will be a panel of four or five judges,
okay, right,
federal district court judges. But there, I would venture to tell you that if you read the Constitution, okay, there's two places in the Constitution where Congress is authorized to appoint judges. One is or create courts, for that matter. One is Article 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Article 3. An Article 3 court is a constitutional court that will hear matters concerning the Constitution.
Right.
An Article 1 court is an administrative court that has no business hearing constitutional issues. Every single federal district court in the country is an Article 1 court, with the exception of one that I'm aware, mm-hmm, of, and that is the Federal District Court for the District of Columbia.
Right.
It was created under Article 3.
So let's say if these coneheads at the Supremes tell us we have to have Obamacare, and I challenge them on religious beliefs and religious discrimination, would that be ultimately held at the Supreme Court level?
You would probably win. If there's one thing that the Supreme Court has steadfastly upheld, it's,
mm-hmm,
religious rights. Including driver's licenses, license,
yep,
plates on your,
right,
mode of transportation,
right,
sending your kids to public schools,
sure,
animal sacrifice. I think,
yep,
Robert argued that case. I'm not sure.
Here we go.
That just went way over my head.
You know,
you know what, though?
Go ahead.
I'm not up to stuff tonight. I'm just listening.
Oh, you enjoy. Thank you for joining us. I'm really happy that everyone's here.
I think he was painting doorways with lamb's blood or something. I'm not
there
sure.
There you go.
Oh, my God, man. You were just body slamming me because of the joke I told you. My Lord.
Oh, no. Robert, you know I always have to figure out a way to work in a Jewish joke or two when you're on the line.
I know. I have nothing to hide.
Oh, I know, and it's all a jest.
I know, so, man. I'm just I'm sad. I lost a friend last Friday in a house fire. He was smoking in his house. He fell asleep and burned the house down with his dog inside. Terrible. It's just like I've had a tough beginning of 2012. This is like four people. In less than 4 months. It's just
it's not good.
I'm questioning God. I said you're picking on our class. Why? Well, what did our class do wrong? What did our class do wrong? You know.
look on the bright side. He doesn't have to hang around and see all the crap that's coming down the line.
That was my interpretation. You know, Ron, basically the way I do politically, how they felt, my friends felt all through school and everything. We felt the same way all the way through, going through high school. We felt the same way. So, basically they left because they just got sick and tired of it. They just didn't want to deal with it anymore. I really believe that now. I firmly believe you're right, Ron. They just had enough.
We don't know what the actual evidence is yet on Junior Seau, but we'll find out as the days unfold. And I just, I feel bad for his soul because I don't want to think that he took his own life. But anyway, the case that you talked about a few weeks ago, Ron, I think it was on the Sunday show or possibly your Monday night show, there was the guy who was finally asked a question by one of the Supreme Court justices.
Oh, God,
why did you choose to do this? And he, he said because it went against his religious conviction.
Right, well, he said, I can't.
Yeah.
And they asked him why he couldn't. And that was actually an Amish case.
Oh, wow.
They were asking him, why can't you send your children to public school?
Right.
And he said, because it's against my religious conviction. And the court agreed. And what the court stated was that he had demonstrated that he actually had a religious conviction and not just a belief.
Exactly.
And they said a belief, one would be subject to change their belief.
Right.
If threatened or put under duress, they might change their belief. But he demonstrated that even facing prison and having lost his children, he didn't budge.
He proved it to them by going to jail. I get it.
Now, how sad is that?
Wow.
That you'd have to prove yourself.
I know. It's nuts. I mean, do you know who we're going to feel like at the end of the day? We're going to feel like Solzhenitsyn by the time we're done with this nonsense. We're going to have to write our memoirs from prison. Oy. They're making me nuts.
That's one of the myths that we've been taught as a child growing up in the United States of America, that you're innocent, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. Well, that's hogwash.
Not now.
It's never been that way.
Well, it's just ridiculous. But at least we still have, not entirely. I think it's hanging by a gossamer thread, the Fourth and Fifth Amendments.
You have to understand, if you really strain a gnat and you think about it, if a constable, a police officer, the police state, the state police power, if they have incarcerated you and they bring you before a court, that court must presume that the state at least has ample proof that you're guilty of something. If they presumed you totally innocent, there would be no standing for you to be in their courtroom to begin with.
Right, right. So, but it is the burden on the burden is on the prosecution. Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Huge, which is a good thing. So, they, and they have to be really brought well. And I get you. It's just it's you get to a point where you just your head's going to explode every day.
Yeah.
I can't take one more thing from this administration.
I have a very good friend that understands all of this. He was fighting against the fingerprint on driver's licenses in Georgia back in the 80s. And he finally just threw his hands up and said, the hell with it. I'm just not doing it anymore. And he's kind of disappeared into the shadows, so to speak. He runs a business out of a little trailer that he rents. And, you know, he does mostly cash. And he just doesn't want to mess with them. He doesn't want to be part of their system.
I don't blame him. I truly don't. As Michael would do at this point, would he would be playing trailers for sale or rent by, Roger Miller. That's amazing. Yeah, I get why people unplug completely. I totally do. It's frightening. I mean, all that stuff with the CISPA and the SOPA and the Utah grid, they're just evil. And if it was up to me, that thing would be leveled by tomorrow. But just me.
They're trying to set up a system whereby it's practically impossible.
Yep.
For you to be out of the system.
Unplugged,
yeah.
I know. And this is all fascistic control, which I totally abhor, and you know that we all do. Because what we don't want to live under this type of a regime. That's why they fought so hard. Why the 8 years, the Declaration, the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, the individuals, the sovereign, everything they wrote before they bastardized it later on, and manipulated it and said, oh, well, we can't have God in the school. Separation of church and state. I just want to shoot people when they say this.
Yeah.
Just want to shoot them.
I always love that when people tell me, I'm like, really, can you point to me where it says anything about separation? I've never seen that before.
I you know what I tell them? I go, if you call up David Barton, he'll show it to you. It's in a letter written by Jefferson. He's got the original document.
But that's not law. That was, a letter between two people.
It was a letter. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with you.
The whole point is it says Congress shall make no law.
Absolutely.
And so the way they subvert that is Congress makes a law that doesn't have anything to do with religion, and then the agency creates administrative procedures, rules, and regulations.
Right.
And Congress can say, well, we didn't make no law.
I know, it's ridiculous. That's the EPA and the DHS and the TSA and every alphabet nonsense we've got ever since, 1970 or 40? I mean, they're driving me crazy with it. It's the net. It's the tightening of the noose, like you say. It boggles the mind. I'm tired of all of them. Like I said, we would have global warming if I got my way and we could just shred all that stuff and burn it.
When we talked about Social Security before.
Yep.
Okay. You can opt out of Social Security. There's a form that you have to fill out.
Wow.
But guess what? In order to do so, you have to be a member of the Christian Science Church.
Oh, geez.
A Mennonite.
Or an Amish.
Or Amish.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Because now you seem to be picking and choosing the religion that you'll allow exemptions for, and that's a direct violation of the First Amendment.
So,
and they can come back and say, well, no, because Congress didn't make any law. This is a regulation.
So we're all Amish now. Is that correct?
Hell, why not? I think they've got it figured out, quite honestly.
They do. They really do. I agree with them on many things. It's really sad what's going on. But we're just going to keep fighting because I really think that, you know, I know the financial situation is, it's irreversible, Ron. It's going to collapse. But as for how this goes, and if we can keep our strength and faith in God and not go off the cliff like with these idiots and the Fabian socialists and the euthanasia guys and, you know, the gas fan nut jobs and the, you know, the people, the Kevin Jennings of the czar situations, and just keep true to ourselves and to our documents and to our God, you know, even with a financial collapse, maybe we can win with God's help if we do believe in that last sentence of the Declaration with firm reliance. I mean, we've got to do something and know who we are and be good people.
That's true.
Keep all the rules.
You know, I was reading a story earlier. Oh, hang on just a minute.
He's got the phone.
Hello. Hey.
Okay, I'm
on the radio.
Keep
how are you? That's okay. I was waiting on your call. I love you. I know. Waiting for you though. I love you.
This is great.
All right,
bye. You got another phone going on.
Okay, sorry about that. That was the wife calling in to let me know she's on her way home. But I was reading a story earlier. A guy up in Tennessee tried to pay for something using an old $50 bill, and they put him in jail.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, granted, it was absolutely an oversight, and it was foolish, but he went to the store and tried to pay with a $50 bill, and the clerk called the cops. The cops showed up, and, you know, they used a little ammonia pen, and it wouldn't work on the old $50 bills. And so they took him to jail, and meanwhile, they went to three local banks, and the banks all confirmed, no, it's a real one. So they had to go let him out of jail.
How pissed
do you have to be, you know, to get arrested for using legal tender money?
It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ron, thank you so much, and Bill, and Oz, Rod Luke, Michael Magic, and I'm going to do the rundown of the show. This was great tonight. You know, we're still praying for the Seau family and everybody in Oceanside and San Diego, and we're just going to keep fighting, Ron. We're just going to keep our heads on straight, our heart with God, our minds straight with the Lord, pray every day. Be good citizens to each other, neighbors, community, family, loved ones.
That's all we can do. Just not fall off the cliff like the rest of the idiots.
Absolutely. Amen. So
let the lemmings keep doing that.
Okay, God bless. Thank you so much.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got tomorrow, which is beautiful, Terry Rowland, who is a wonderful teacher. And we must check her out at 7 p.m. Eastern for Patriot Education. Friday, we hope Brian is back at 8 p.m. Eastern with foreclosure help. I'm not sure if my magic is coming on Saturday at 7 p.m. or if someone's filling in, but we will look forward to that show, 7 p.m. on Saturdays, Exposing the Illusion. We have Sundays, which is Fed Up Frank, and Ron, of course, loves to fill in for Frank if we can do that. 7 p.m. for Fed Up Frank. Monday nights, Ron Golden does Constitution Hour, which is a great show talking about everything from the Constitution to the law to the this to the Amish to everything we've talked about tonight. We have Tuesday, Bill and Hollis, Bill Strong and Hollis Buchanan. We have Patriot Family Chat, which is a lot of fun. We all get to play on the radio for 2 hours and talk about everything and solve the world's problems. That is 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. And back to me on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern for Right from the Left Coast. I just love you guys. God bless. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the chat room. And we will just keep fighting the fight, praising the Lord, loving the Lord, and just keep going forward and hanging on to that Constitution because it's hanging by a tiny little gossamer thread. I want to say good night and see you guys on the other side. God bless America.